Good morning. My name is Andy. I'm one of the pastors here at PBC. Thank you for coming out to worship with us on a very cold day. We're glad that you are here. And as you're worshiping through giving, I just want you to contemplate or think about a question. Why you? Why are you? Why do you exist? For that matter, why are you breathing today? Every day, every breath is a gift from God. So why has He given you that breath? Why has He given you today? What is the ultimate purpose in life? As you think about that, just sort of hold that question in the back of your mind for a moment. We are starting a new sermon series today. It's going to be 4 Sundays. We're talking about the core 4 principles of Pontiac Bible Church. So let me just give you a little background where this sermon series comes from. Back in the fall, the elders and the deacons met for a couple of days. We had a summit, a leadership summit, so to speak. And the goal of that retreat was to identify what direction God has for us moving forward. We have our mission statement, we have our 3 C's, but how do we do that? How do we fulfill those 3 C's? How do we accomplish that mission? We're celebrating, connecting, and contributing. That sounds great, but let's get that out of the clouds and put some feet on it in the real world. What does that actually look like? Well, we came up at that meeting and studying Scripture and praying together and discussing for a couple of days. We came up with what we believe are 4 core principles of Pontiac Bible Church. And so, just so you know how all these things fit together, our mission, our 3 C's, our 4 core principles, if you'll pick up a copy of your program, on the front of it, we have this nice little graphic that Dave Moore drew for us at the retreat. He kind of captured what we were thinking visually, which is so helpful. And then we put a little paragraph on the front of your program that is sort of a summary statement or synopsis of how these fit together. So let's just read this. We believe our mission is connecting and equipping people to follow Jesus. A disciple of Jesus is someone who follows Jesus. It's someone who says, I'm not going to live life my way, I'm going to live life Jesus' way. He's my God, He's my Lord, so I'm going to pattern my life after Him, I'm going to walk in His footsteps. And as a church, we're called to make disciples. So we said, our mission is connecting and equipping people to follow Jesus, or to be disciples. And we accomplish that mission as we celebrate, connect, and contribute together in 4 key contexts: worship, biblical community, outreach, and next generation. So we say, we believe, the pathway toward discipleship is celebrating, connecting, and contributing together. But where do we do that? How do we do that? What does that look like? Well, we're saying as we celebrate, connect, and contribute in each one of these 4 key areas, we're going to start seeing a path to follow in the footsteps of Christ. And these 4 primary areas, worship, biblical community, outreach, and next generation, they're driven by the power of prayer. And they become the core principles that guide the ministries of PBC and form a pathway to follow in Jesus' footsteps. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about each Sunday, one of the core principles. And today, we're going to talk about the first one. In fact, what I would say, maybe, in my opinion, of course, I'm the worship arts pastor, so I might be a scotch biased, but I think we're going to talk about the most fundamental of the 4 core principles, and that is the principle of worship. So I ask you at the very beginning, what is the ultimate purpose of your life? Why did God create you? Here's the answer: worship. Worship is the single most important activity of our lives. If there's only one reason why I am alive, if there's only one reason why I exist, it is to worship God. That's why I was created. That's why you were created. Worship is the most important activity of all of our lives. There's no higher calling. There's no higher purpose, there's no higher path or pursuit than the worship of God. That is why we exist. That is why we were created. It is the single most important activity of our lives. And here's how the Westminster Shorter Catechism, which is this great document that's full of doctrine and theology, here's how they put it. The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. The ultimate purpose of humankind is worship. It's bringing glory to God, and it's enjoying fellowship with our Creator King. That is why we exist. Here's what the Bible has to say about worship. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Everything that you do in life, even the insignificant, mundane things like eating and drinking, every little tiny detail of your life should be done for the glory of God. It's all about worship. Romans 11:36, for from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. Every single aspect of your life, every breath that you breathe, every thought that you have, every moment that you live, every part of your life, and every part of this entire universe was created for God. To Him be glory forever. Amen. And here's what Jesus said, Luke chapter 4, verse 8. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve. Now, these are just a few of the places in Scripture where they talk about the importance of worship. The Bible is filled with teaching, important teaching on worship, from cover to cover. You could devote your entire life just to the study of worship, because it is absolutely one of the most foundational teachings and beliefs of all of the Scriptures. And so, the Bible is full of this. Here's what a few theologians have said about worship. Peter Forsyth says, the greatest product of the church is not brotherly love, but divine worship. It's not saying that brotherly love isn't important or that we shouldn't love one another. Absolutely, we should. But the greatest product of the church is worship. That's the most important. A.W. Tozer said, a local church exists to do corporately what each Christian believer should be doing individually, and that is to worship God. The fundamental primary reason why the church exists is to do what we are doing together this morning, worshiping God. That's according to Tozer. Karl Barth, probably the most influential theologian in the 20th century, here's what he says. The church service is the most important, momentous, and majestic thing which can possibly take place on earth, because its primary content is not the work of man, but the work of the Holy Spirit, and consequently, the work of faith. What we're doing together today is the most important, momentous, and majestic thing that can ever happen in the whole world. This is not just, oh, I feel like going to church today, yeah, whatever. Rolling in my PJs, right? This is a big deal. Worship together is important, fundamentally so. And in spite of the fact that the Bible is filled from Genesis to Revelation with instructions on worship, and in spite of the fact that hundreds of theologians throughout thousands of years of Christian history have talked about and written about and preached about the importance of worship, in spite of all of that, a recent Barna Group study shows this. The average active church member attends church 1.7 times a month. Those are the active ones. 1.7 times a month. Now, how many, just anybody hazard a guess, I'm not great at math. How many Sundays are there in a month, typically? 4. So the average active church member is not in church the majority of the time. They don't even go half the time. We're not even every other week. We're not even batting 500. Right? This is terrible. The average active church person is in church 1.7 times a month. Imagine the people that are just sort of floating around on the fringes playing the church game but not really committed. Once every 6 weeks, maybe? I don't know. In spite of the fact that worship is so foundational to our lives as Christians, we have misplaced our priority on corporate worship, worshiping together. And I wonder if that is true in your life at all. Do you ever wake up on Sunday morning and ask your spouse, "Do you think we should go to church today?" Do you ever have that conversation? How often are you not in church? How often does your kids' sporting activities take you away from the worship of God? How often does the golf course or local fishing hole pull you away from church on Sunday morning when you should be gathering together to worship God and instead swinging away? How often does your Saturday night choice of entertainment leave you too exhausted and tired to get up and come to church on Sunday morning, so you just sleep in? Does that ever happen? Do you ever struggle with that? Do you ever wonder why it's important to worship together? You ever feel like, and I'll be honest, sometimes I feel this way, I just don't feel like going to church today. You know, and why does it really matter? Why is it really important? It doesn't seem to be having that much impact in my life. You know, we'll go and we'll listen to the pastor preach and we'll hear some songs and all that stuff. I just don't really feel like it today. Why does it even matter? Do you ever ask that question? Why is it important? If you do, you're not alone. And I know that there are some legitimately good reasons why people occasionally have to miss worship. Sometimes you can't be here. And I don't want to judge you for not being here, because there are sometimes there are good reasons why you cannot be here on a Sunday morning. But the reality is most of us, most people are just too busy to be bothered with going to church on a Sunday morning. I talked to someone once who said, "I don't need to go to church to worship God. I can worship God under a tree." And I said, "Well, when was the last time you went and sat under a tree and worshiped God?" "Never. You don't do that. And if you do, go sit under a tree every Sunday. You might as well come sit in here every Sunday. It's a lot more comfortable." Right? The truth is, we just don't put a priority on gathering together for worship. And really, that's so true that the majority, or maybe the average active church member, doesn't even come to worship half the time, but only 1.7 times a month on average. This morning, we're going to be talking about worship, and we're going to answer these three questions. What is worship? Why is it important to worship together? And how do we worship together as Pontiac Bible Church? What is worship? Why is it important to do it together? And how do we worship together as PBC? In your Bibles, if you want to turn to Psalm 95, that's going to be our anchor text, our primary text. So go ahead and turn to Psalm 95. We're actually not going to start there, but just stick your thumb in Psalm 95 and kind of hold your spot. Over the next few weeks, the sermons that we're preaching will be a little bit different than our typical. Usually we like to get a book of the Bible and just work verse by verse by verse through it. We spent about a year and a half working verse by verse through Acts, and that's what we like to do. We like to study God's Word. We are a Bible church. The next 4 weeks, it's going to be more topical. We're going to be talking about the four core principles of PBC, and so we'll skip around Scripture a little bit, but it's more of a topically based series, although today we will camp out, spend the most of our time in Psalm 95. So if you find that in your Scriptures, let's pray, and then we'll dive in. Father, I thank you. I thank you so much that we have been given the privilege and the honor and the freedom to gather together here today to worship you together. And Lord, I confess, even though I'm a pastor, even though I'm a worship leader, sometimes I don't feel like coming into this room on Sunday and worshiping you. And I don't know if it's my spiritual laziness. I don't know if it's sin that has crept into my life that's choking my relationship with you. I don't know what it is, but sometimes I just don't want to. And I pray that you would forgive me for that attitude. And I'm sure there are others in this room who struggle with the same thing. I pray that you would forgive them. And we thank you that we have grace in Christ. Lord, we can gather today, and you have called us together to speak to us through your word. So I pray that you would do that. May I be the instrument in your hands, and yet knowing that the Holy Spirit is the one who speaks to their heart. So I pray that you would speak to our hearts today, and I'm grateful and thankful for the privilege and the honor you've given me to participate with you in that. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So why is it, what is worship? I think the most clear and simple biblical definition of worship comes from 1 Chronicles 16:29. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name, bring an offering and come before him, worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. This is the most clear, concise definition of worship in Scripture that I've found. Worship is about giving glory to God. It is about declaring in your heart, in your mind, in your life, with your family, all around you. It is about declaring that God is worthy of praise, that God is worthy of the devotion of our lives, that only God is the true God who is worthy to be worshipped. It is about ascribing glory and honor and praise to him because God is awesome and he is the only one who is awesome. It's about sacrifice. It's worship not just with music and with words, but with giving and serving and loving one another, bringing an offering and coming before him and worshiping him together. That is what worship is biblically. And here's the statement that we came up with at the Elder Deacon Retreat. When we said, what is our core principle of worship? How does that look at PBC? What do we define worship as for us together? And here's what we came up with. It comes straight out of 1 Chronicles 16:29. Worship together in God's presence, glorifying Father, Son, and Spirit. Worship is something we do together. Yes, you can and you should worship God individually. But our Christian faith, while it is very personal, is never private. It is not a private faith. It is a community faith. It is something we share together. It's coming into God's presence, coming before the Lord together. It's ascribing glory, glorifying our great God who is Father, Son, and Spirit. That's what worship is. That's what we say worship is for Pontiac Bible Church, and it comes straight out of the Scriptures. Worship, together in God's presence, glorifying Father, Son, and Spirit. Second question of the morning is, why is it important to worship together? Why does it matter? Why do we do what we do? Why do we come here on Sunday morning? Why do we get up and brave the cold and come here to worship together? If you'll turn to Psalm 95, I think in this psalm we'll find some answers to that question. And one of the things I love about Scripture, especially the Psalms, they are so theologically rich. I think I could preach on Psalm 95 every week for a year and probably never dig out all of the beauty and the theology and the truth of this passage. So, a little caveat. Don't think today, after hearing one sermon on Psalm 95, that we have discovered all the meaning of Psalm 95. I spent about 25 hours studying this week, and I only scratched the surface. I love that about God's Word. So we're going to talk about Psalm 95 today, and we're going to discover why it is important to worship together. Let's do something just a little different that we don't normally do. If you would stand, I want us to read Psalm 95 out loud together. It's 11 verses. It's not that long. I have the ESV, the English Standard Version. You might use the NIV or the NLT or something like that. That's great. I love those versions too. Just for us to be able to read this aloud together, I put the words on the screen in the ESV version, so we're all reading the same thing. Let's just read Psalm 95 together, starting with verse 1. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the God of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day at Massa in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. Therefore I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. This is the word of the Lord. You can have a seat. Why is it important to worship God together? Number one, it is important to worship together because we are commanded to. Every single thing in this psalm is written in the plural. Every single part of this psalm, 95, is written in the plural. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise and sing to him songs of praise. Verse 6, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. We are commanded to worship together. It's impossible. It is impossible to apply Psalm 95 individually. You can't do it because it calls us, it commands us to come together. Let us worship God. It's important to worship God because it is an act of obedience to God's word. We are commanded in Scripture to come to worship together. That is what this psalm is all about. And Charles Spurgeon, a great pastor in the 1800s, put it this way. As we are members of one mystical body, it is but right that we should, as members of that one body, worship together. We are the body of Christ. And it's important for us to come together to worship him together as his body, as his bride, as his family. That's what we're called to do, and really, we're commanded to it in Scripture, and you have a choice this morning. Either I'm going to be obedient to God's word and gather for worship, or I'm going to be disobedient to God's word and skip. It's a choice of obedience or disobedience. Which way will you choose? That's Mike Todd's message from last week. Which way will you choose? The pathway of obedience or the pathway of disobedience? Either I'm going to follow the commands of Scripture and gather for worship, even when it's not convenient, even when I don't like who's preaching, even when I don't like the music, even when I can't wait till the other pastor to get up next week or whatever. No, I'm obedient to God and his word and gathering for worship. Or I'm going to skip and be disobedient. It's important to worship together because we're commanded to in Scripture. Number two, it's important to worship together because it drives our beliefs down deep in our souls. Everybody has things that they believe. But if you want those beliefs to actually impact your life, to actually make a difference in your life, you have to take those beliefs and drive them from your head, where they're ideas, down deep into your soul, into the depths of your heart, where they can then be lived out every day. If the only thing you have is ideas in your head and you haven't really driven those beliefs deep down into your soul, they won't have much impact in your life. And I've talked with many people that have said, you know, I've tried this whole Christianity thing. It doesn't really seem to make a difference. It doesn't really change anything about my life. And I wonder if that's your experience, I wonder if a lot of what you believe about the Bible and about God and about Jesus Christ, I wonder if a lot of those beliefs are just ideas in your head and they haven't been driven down from your head down into the depths of your soul, because it's not until you really commit to them from the bottom of your heart that they will begin to change you and impact you and transform you. And corporate worship, worshiping together, is designed to engage your whole being, heart, soul, mind, and strength. Words are the language of the mind. Music is the language of the heart. And when words and music combine, it drives your beliefs deep down into your souls. When we gather together to pray our beliefs, to sing our beliefs, to study our beliefs, to see and interact with other Christians who share our beliefs, it takes those from being just ideas and it makes them life-changing, transforming truths that we can hold on to from the depths of our soul. It's important to worship together because it drives your beliefs down deep. And here in Psalm 95 are some truths, some beliefs, that when we gather together and read Psalm 95, these beliefs are being driven into our hearts. Verse 3, for the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. There is no God like our God. Amen? Worshiping together will drive this belief from your head into your heart. God is King of kings, Lord of lords, the greatest of all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the heights of the mountains are his also. There is nowhere we can go from God's presence. He is everywhere. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Our God is the creator of the universe. We don't worship the sun. We don't worship the moon. We don't worship the universe is like some kind of God in and of itself. No, no. Our God created the universe. He spoke it into existence with a word of power. That's the God we worship. We come together and worship. These truths are being driven into our hearts, and they will impact the way we live. That's what corporate worship does. Number three, it's important to worship together because it's necessary in order to truly know God as He is. If you want to really, genuinely, honestly know God as He is, you must worship together. Now, in the last 3 months, I've had 4 conversations with 4 different people who don't go to church, and they've all 4 said basically the same thing. I don't have to go to church to know God. They're wrong. Look in our text. Come, let us worship, bow down, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Verse 7, for He is our God. He's not just my God. He's not just your God. He's not just your parents' God. He's not just your grandparents' God. He is our God. And if I want to really, honestly, truly know God, I need to be in community, worshiping together with you. I learn so much about God from worshiping with you that I would never learn on my own. When I see how God has worked in your life, when I hear the testimonies and the stories of how God has changed you and impacted you, that shows me more of who God is, because His work in your life is different than His work in my life. And yes, you can know God on your own by yourself, but you have this little tiny bit of perspective on Him. And that's a drop in the ocean of God. When I study the Bible with other Christians, I learn so much from their perspective. When I hear sermons by other pastors, I learn more about God than I would ever learn studying that text by myself. And I love, one of the things I love the most is to hear other people pray. When I hear you pray, it shows me what God's doing in your life. It shows me what God means to you and how God has worked in you. And I see God in a different light, in a way that I would never see him if all I had was my own prayers. If you want to truly know God as he is, you must worship him together with his church. Here's how Tim Keller says it. You will never know God as he is unless you are in a worshiping community. It's important to worship together. Number four, it's important to worship together because it's the foundation of our lives in the family of God. Look at verse 7 in our text. He is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Sheep are a herd animal. One little sheep wandering out in the wilderness is going to die real quick. They need each other. We are a flock. We are God's flock, his sheep in his pasture, and we need each other. Worship is the beginning of biblical community. It's important to worship together. It's the foundation of our lives in the family of God. And I'm not going to talk a whole lot about this week because biblical community is the second core principle of Pontiac Bible Church. And next Sunday, Pastor Jared's going to teach a whole sermon about biblical community. All I will say is this: biblical community begins in worship. And here's how Dietrich Bonhoeffer put it: the whole common life of the Christian fellowship begins and ends in worship. This is where it starts. Our lives together as God's family begins here, worshiping together. And that's one of the reasons why it's important to worship together. Number five, it's important to worship together because it reminds us what life is really about. It reminds us what is most important in this life. See, when you're not worshiping together on a regular basis, it's really easy to say, is that Christianity thing? Is that really important? I really want to do this, and I know it's sinful. Maybe it's not all. Is it really a sin to live together but not be married? You know, is that really a sin? Because don't we need to figure out if we're compatible before we tie the knot? And the arguments of the world and the reasoning of the world begin to infiltrate your mind, and they take purchase, and they begin to change you because you're not grounding yourself in worship every week. And you begin to lose sight of what's most important in life. But worship reminds us of what's most important in life. Look at our text, Psalm 95, the last part of verse 7. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day at Massa in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Listen, what is most important in life is hearing God's voice and responding to it. Not hardening your heart, not resisting his call. It is hearing his voice, responding to his voice, knowing God, knowing his way, knowing his path, and walking according to that path. That is what is most important in life. And parents, you have an incredible opportunity to teach your children what is most important in life. When I was a kid, I was blessed to grow up in a home where my parents taught me the importance of worshiping together. They taught me the importance of the worship of God as a priority in our lives. We were not allowed to play sports that would take us out of church on Sunday morning. Now, if we had a game on Sunday afternoon and we could go play after church, that was great. But if we were not allowed to miss church to go play ball. And I never remember a time in my life waking up and hearing my dad say on a Sunday morning, well, do you think we ought to go to church today? Who votes yes? Who votes no? Oh, well, we didn't even have that conversation. It never even entered into our house. When I was old enough to get a job, my dad said, you will not work on Sunday morning. Sunday night, there's no church. You can work on Sunday night if you want, but you will not miss church to work because your high school job is not important enough for you to miss God's worship. That's getting your priorities out of whack. And I know I know some of you as adults, you have to provide for your family and you don't have a choice. You're on call. You have to work on Sunday mornings. You don't have much option. I get that. I'm not judging that. What I'm saying is, parents, you have an opportunity with your kids. Don't let them work on Sunday morning. Teach them what is actually really important in life. And it's not how many points you scored on the field. It's not how much money you made. When you let your kids miss church because their friends came over and they went camping and they're too tired to get up, what you're telling them is, worship is only important if it's convenient. Worship is only important if you don't have anything better to do. Here's what James McDonald says about this. He said, when you raise your kids by teaching them that they are awesome and life revolves around them, and when they have something, everything else will just, we'll move church away, we'll move this. When you raise your kids to think that they are awesome, they'll grow up and they'll think they're awesome. But guess what? Your kids are not awesome. God is awesome. The world revolves around God, not your kids. They're not the center of the universe. God is the center of the universe. And when we say, when we make it a priority to be in worship on Sunday morning, no questions asked, what we're doing is we're teaching our kids that God is more important than their activities, than their friends, than their money, than their social lives, than whatever else. God is the center of the universe. It's important to worship together because it reminds us what is really important in life, hearing God's voice and walking according to his paths. Number six, it's important to worship together because we need to rest in Christ. We need to rest in Christ. Look at verse 11. Therefore I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Now, there are some of you this morning who have not entered into God's rest. You have been searching in your life for purpose, for meaning, for peace. You have been wondering, why am I here? What difference does my life make? What is the purpose of my existence? And you've been looking for meaning and for peace and for comfort from all these things in life, and you haven't found it. You haven't found that peace, that rest that your soul craves so desperately because you've been looking for it in all the wrong places. And you need to enter into the rest of God. One of the greatest theologians in the history of Christianity, Augustine of Hippo, says this, "Thou hast formed us for thyself, and our hearts are restless till they find rest in thee." You will never find the rest and the peace that your soul needs until you find it in Christ. And it's simple. If you want to enter into God's rest, it's simple. All you have to do is stop looking at all this stuff over here and looking for it to bring you satisfaction and fulfillment and peace and joy in life. Stop. Just turn around away from that and look at Christ and say, I have nothing to offer. I have no hope. I cannot find rest and peace in life anywhere. But I will step into your rest as my God. I am tired of running my own race. I am tired of working so hard. I am tired of trying to do everything in my own power. I just want to stop trying and start trusting in Christ. And I give my life to you. If you make that decision, you can enter into God's rest. And he will satisfy that peace and that longing in your soul that you need. Some of you sitting in this room need to make that decision. And I would urge you, don't wait. Make it today. Enter into God's rest. If you've already accepted Christ as your Savior, you're already a Christian, we still need to regularly rest in Christ. We need this rhythm of worshiping together because it reminds us to rest. In the Old Testament, they celebrated or had the Sabbath day. On Saturday, every Saturday, the nation of Israel would stop working. It was a day of physical rest. They would stop working and they would say, my work is not most important in life. God is. I don't control my life. God does. I don't provide for myself. God does. They would stop working, they would rest, and they would worship God, and they would remember Him and His faithfulness. As Christians, we're not bound by the Sabbath. We don't celebrate the Sabbath. If you work on Saturday, you're not committing a sin like they did in the Old Testament. But we still need a day of spiritual rest. We celebrate that on Sunday, the Lord's Day, the day that Jesus rose again. And it's an opportunity for us to step out of the rat race of this world and to rest in God's sanctuary and worship Him together. We got the boys a little aircraft carrier for Christmas. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't make any noises or have any lights, and we like it that way. It's quiet. Asher loves planes. Jack thinks it's a Star Wars ship, and he's been flying it all across the galaxies. And Elliot doesn't have a clue. He knocks Luke Skywalker off the deck, and Jack gets mad. And anyway, but we have this Star Wars ship. We have this aircraft carrier that we got the boys for Christmas, and a real aircraft carrier takes the planes out across the ocean, and they fly off and they do their missions, but they don't have enough fuel to stay away forever. They have to come back and land and get refueled and refitted and repaired and then relaunched out to do their mission. That's exactly what we're doing here on Sunday morning. Monday through Saturday, you are out living, trying to live on mission for God, trying to live a godly life in a godless society. And if you stay out too long, you'll run out of fuel. You'll crash and burn. You will not have the success and the victory that you are looking for. But if you come back and you land here and you're encouraged by other Christians and you're refocused and you're reminded about God's faithfulness and you're refreshed and refueled, then you can be relaunched out to go be on mission for God. We need worshiping together because we need to rest in Christ. So we've talked about what is worship. We've talked about why it's important to worship together. Let's conclude by talking about how we worship together as Pontiac Bible Church. How do we do this? How do we do it as PBC? What's unique about our worship? Well, I want to pull back this graphic that Dave Moore drew for us at the retreat because it's such a great visual of this whole concept. We have the four core principles there in different colors, creating a circle. And then around the circle, we have our three C's, celebrate, connect, and contribute. So how do we worship together? We celebrate. We celebrate. God has been faithful to us. Amen? God has been good. There is so much to celebrate and to rejoice because God is a loving Father, and He provides everything for us. So we celebrate together. And I loved, just a few minutes ago, hearing you sing. Singing How Great Thou Art, and your voices are filling this room. That's worship. That's celebrating. And I'll tell you this, when we celebrate together, when we're actively engaged in worshiping together, when we're participating in the service, it becomes a powerful tool for evangelism. Lots of people have been saved through the years because of the worship of the church. John Merrill is playing box drum this morning as one of our deacons. He was saved in a worship service on Easter Sunday in 2008 because he was sitting there and he was listening to a whole room full of people sing at the top of their lungs and raise their hands. And he heard the gospel presented from God's word, and it moved him. And the Holy Spirit reached down and plucked him out of darkness and brought him into light. Because the church was worshiping. We celebrate. We connect. It's our second C. Remember, biblical community begins in worship. So when you leave here, don't just leave and run away. Drink some coffee. Relax. Enjoy mingling with people. Come early. Between the services, we have this whole time of fellowship together where you can meet people, interact with people, talk with people, enjoy coffee and some donut holes if all the kids don't get them. And it's about being together. We celebrate, we connect, and we contribute. We bring an offering and we come before the Lord to worship Him together. When you give financially as an act of worship, it changes your perspective and it changes your relationship with God. And when you give, in the offering, you're not just giving to Pontiac Bible Church. You're giving to God through Pontiac Bible Church. And we're a church. We want to be a church that puts our money where our mouth is, that doesn't just give God lip service, but we're actually invested in worshiping Him. So we celebrate, we connect, and we contribute. And then in the center of the circle, bright red, prayer. We pray. We put prayer in the center of this circle because prayer plugs us into the power that turns the wheels of ministry at PBC. That's how we worship. That's what we do. I'm going to invite the band to come back up. We're going to celebrate communion in just a moment, which is another great way of reminding us what God's done for us through Jesus Christ on the cross. But before we do that, we're going to sing. We're going to respond to God's word with a song. And remember, one of the points was that worship together drives our beliefs from our minds down deep into our soul. This song that we're going to sing is filled with good, solid doctrine and theology. This is what we believe, and we're going to sing it together. I would invite you to stand. Let's do that.